Kurt and Kate Mornings, not just on the radio.
It's a podcast, too.
Well, something rather unexpected happened when we started talking about wayward children. Those kids, sons and daughters, for that matter, grandkids, you know, grandsons and granddaughters who were far from Jesus. Diane had called in from Claremont, and she shared how a group that met at her home on Easter Sunday, all of a sudden they just started talking about their wayward kids and had a burden for them. I played the clip on the air on the show and thought, you know what, we need to talk more about this. And that's exactly what we did.
And it was amazing. We got literally hundreds of responses to this. It is obviously something that's on so many hearts. And we have a big prayer list to share.
Yes, we do. Exactly. We had the opportunity where, what a privilege it is, the opportunity to encourage you to text in the names of your kids, you know, just first names of your kids who are far away from Jesus. And we want to pray them into the kingdom as a community of believers. This is not something that was planned. It just kind of happened, and it literally blew up our texting. And so we're continuing to pray. We gathered all those names. We continue to pray for each one of these precious kids. You know, they may be adult kids, too. Maybe they are, for sure.
Yeah.
Each one of these folks by name. So they mean a lot to you. They mean a lot to us as well, because you mean a lot to us. But here's the deal. God loves them even more than you love them. And we thought we needed some encouragement here. And so we opened up the phones and, well, here's just a few highlights of what happened as God was leading the way. Last week, Diane from Claremont joined our conversation in the 6 o'clock hour. We were talking about how meaningful Easter was for many of us coming off of Easter weekend, and her call was very powerful. And so I thought I would share this if you missed that call, and then we're going to open up the phones here and chat a little bit this morning. Here's Diane.
I've always hosted Easter since we got married 30 years ago, but when my mom passed away a few years ago, we sort of been hiding in plain sight and just going out for Easter. But yesterday, we're like, no, the Lord wanted us to host. And we just opened up to family and friends that didn't have any place to go. And I sat for 3.5 hours and watched around our dining room table, something that I've never seen happen before. And I received a message at 5 a.m. this morning from a friend that came and said it was the best Easter of her life, where I was burdened when everybody left. It became a counseling table. And it all stemmed out of a conversation that started and just talking about the thief on the cross. And it opened up every single person that we didn't even know, pouring out burdens regarding a wayward child that they all had within the same ages. And this lasted for 4 hours, and it ended with a resurrection message that we were all crying, that forever we've acknowledged we live in a fallen world, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and, you know, we acknowledge and give the devil credit. This is what was happening at the table, but we don't ever attack him. And I looked at our front door, and I said to my husband, I said, if somebody were to come break in right now and start stealing stuff, would all of us just sit here and watch him take it and say, yep, there's a thief stealing?
Good point.
Look at that.
That's a great point.
Celebrating the resurrection that Jesus said, it is finished, it is done. And we sat together last night crying and burdened for children. It was all about adult children that each person had, and nobody knew the other one was suffering. And we're like, you know what? We see the enemy coming in, and Jesus just conquered this. So it was an entirely different resurrection message than any of us ever expected. There's this interesting feeling that we're all texting each other this morning, but there is hope. So for families that are suffering, for people that are saying, the enemy just won't leave me alone, picture him coming in and attacking your house. You would not sit back and watch. If you didn't have anything to do, you'd at least call the police to come take it. So, you know, but Jesus is the police. He's already taken care of it. And for some reason, I think Satan's had a happy party rejoicing that we acknowledge him and we give him applause every day for what he's done. instead of taking the authority that we just celebrated yesterday.
Wow. See, that's what I'm talking about. And we were talking about spiritual warfare as well earlier this morning in Ephesians 6 and the armor of God, putting on the armor of God. Standing in the gap for our wayward kids and grandkids too. We need to make sure that we don't give up praying for them. We need to make sure that we are renewed in our commitment to pray for them. In fact, you may be listening here this morning by God's divine appointment, and you are tired and you're weary because you've been praying for your wayward child, and he or she doesn't seem to be budging. They're just stuck where they are. There doesn't seem to be any kind of interest in the gospel, or if they're a prodigal son or daughter, interest in coming back home. And it's tough. It's really, really tough. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, you know. But you know what? We have to commit it into the hands of the Lord and remember who he is and how powerful he is. And he is so much more powerful than the devil could ever be. They're not equals.
No.
Satan is a created being. And we need to be fighting on our knees for our wayward kids. One of the ways we can be encouraged this morning is through stories of those who have gone through this or are going through it right now. What has God taught you? What happened with you? Maybe you were praying for your son or your daughter for decades, but there was that day when the Lord answered your prayer. Not prayer, prayers, and many of them. I'm thinking about 2 Corinthians 4:16. This phrase has been at the forefront of my mind as I've been thinking about us doing this topic. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart.
Amen.
Luke 18:1. Now he, Jesus, was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, standing in the gap. Let's go to Brittany in Fort Myers. Hi, Brittany. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your story?
I'm a single mom with three. Well, I have four kids, but my boys are a bit much right now. And I just need to put them every day. And, you know, I know they're going through a stage in life to where I can't be the only one who protects them. I have to give them to God. But it's just so hard right now because I can't give up. But just having three boys and two fresh new grandbabies, and it's just a lot. Very, very overwhelming. Very overwhelming. I don't know how to handle certain things anymore, but I can't give up.
You're right, Brittany. You know what? Brittany is speaking for those who maybe will not call in, and she's illustrating the great need that we have to have this conversation. Let's go to Elijah in Sarasota next. Hi, Elijah. How are you?
Happy day. God bless. Prayers to Brittany. Hope is on the way. There is light at the end of the tunnel. I am the prodigal son. And if people thought I was a prodigy, apparently I was too cool for that and turned into prodigal. Jesus was the last house on, even though I had every desire to get there, just with the wrong influences. Time and time again, pain, shame, guilt led me away from that path. But through all the trials of all the court dates, my mother was there for everyone. Even when I didn't show up to my own court date, she was there praying, petitioning. My whole family never gave up on me. It's been a long road. I did come back, had 4 years, and then fell again. But the miracles of all of that, holding on, Brittany, as you do, you know, praying the help will come. And now as I'm older and I have found my path, my mom has got a broken back. She's disabled. She's unable to work. And now I'm there up for her. Doing the deal, you know, sharing the message of love and hope with other people, It's given me more patience. I pray that she is filled with love and light and hope, and that people surround her and send her joy. I know that Jesus can do all, and I testify firsthand that you never know when just a how are you doing or a happy day or some simple act of kindness can change someone's life for the better.
Wow. Elijah, I'm so glad you called, because you're giving moms and dads like Brittany such great hope. And it was the prayers of your mother. And, you know, I would imagine that even today you're amazed that the Lord just wrapped his arms around you and brought you to a place you never thought you would be.
Every time I humbled myself, admitted I was weak and needed and prayed for Jesus, like this last time, 6 months ago, I was home. Dad died. Just was trying to kill myself without killing myself, because I just felt like the hugest failure. I made all these promises to God that I said I could die if I broke. I did break them, and the Lord just surrounded me with his love. And not only did he keep me alive, but he's just blessed me abundantly to be able to go from being homeless to being able to take care of my mother's bills, helping my disabled brother. Like, the miracles always come at the right moment. It's just holding fast and knowing that we serve a living God of truth and love.
Hmm. Elijah, my brother, thank you for your call. It is a gift to each and every one of us. Do you hear that? Don't give up, Mom. Don't give up, Dad. Have faith. Faith is the assurance of things not seen. I always say this is a little word with huge implications, big implications, and that is the word yet. My son or my daughter has not received Jesus as Lord and Savior yet. There's hope in that little word.
Thank you for taking some time to listen to this episode of the Kurt and Kate Mornings Podcast. We always welcome a review with your thoughts and comments, and please feel free to subscribe and follow us as well.
Hey, Pedro's back with us from Riverview. Hey, Pedro, welcome back.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing great. What do you want to share with us?
I just wanted to share a little bit of encouragement on these topics. And, well, my message would be that nothing can stop God from changing a wayward kid, a wayward young man, a wayward young woman. No drugs, no rituals, no evil deeds, nothing can stop God from helping your kid. So if your kid is going through certain dark phase, you need to start praying a lot for that kid. You need to have faith that God is stronger than anything that can get to your kiddos. He is stronger, and he's the reason why he's there, because he's there to protect us. But we need to call for him, because he's going to be invisible to the ones that don't believe in him.
Yes, and that's a good prayer, Pedro. Thank you for bringing that up. Praying that the Lord would reveal himself to our kids, that the Lord would deploy his people into their lives who can speak a language they can understand, and that the light bulb will go off and they're like, bing, I see who I am and my need of a Savior, and I see who Jesus is. Thanks, Pedro, for calling back. Let's go to Tampa, and that would be Tina. Hi, Tina. Welcome to the conversation. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
What's your story?
I would like to give encouragement to the mom that called earlier, and to all who have with children that are living outside of how we taught and raised them. I was that mom at one point, and God gave me a promise in the 90s, the early 90s, and I'm seeing it in my children within the past 3 years. So he gave me Jeremiah 31, verses 16, 17, and 18. And he promised me that my children will return from the land of the enemy. So they did their things out there, but I kept praying over them. And like the word of God says, his word will not return void. So I would just like to encourage those who are going through this difficult time with their children, just to stay prayerful, and God's word will prevail in their lives.
Thank you so much, Tina, for encouraging the moms and dads who are in the thick of it right now. I want to share a story with you guys, true story out of the life of one of the great heroes of the faith, at least one of my heroes, George Mueller. He lived in the 1800s in England. He's well known for his orphan houses, and he supported all of these children in England during that time, basically through prayer. He never asked for money. He would have annual reports, and he documented every penny that actually was given to him and the expenses. He was a good accountant. And once a year, he would have a meeting and release the accounts and his accounts of the Lord's dealings with him, is the way he put it. And so he would basically detail, okay, this is how the Lord helped us. This is how the Lord did this, this. He built these huge orphan houses, and thousands of orphans were cared for. They never asked for money. They just asked the Lord. They didn't ask people for money, but they asked the Lord for money. Anyways, a man of great faith. This is what he writes in his autobiography. In November of 1844, I began to pray for conversion, the conversion of five individuals. I prayed every day without a single intermission, whether sick or in health, on the land, on the sea, and whatever the pressure of my engagements might be. 18 months elapsed before the first of the five was converted to Jesus. I thanked God and prayed on for the others. 5 years went by, and then the second was converted. I thank God for the second and prayed on for the other three. Day by day, I continued to pray for them, and 6 years passed before the third was converted, drawn to Jesus, received Jesus as Lord and Savior. I thank God for the three and went on praying for the other two. These two remained lost. 36 years later, you know what happened? This is the kind of the rest of the story. 36 years later, he wrote that the other two sons of one of his friends were still not converted. But he writes this, "But I hope in God, I pray on, I look for the answer. They are not saved yet, but they will be." Well, in 1897, 52 years after he began to pray daily without interruption for these two men, they finally received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But it was after George Mueller went home to heaven. That's after he died. He understood what Luke meant when he introduced a parable that Jesus told about prayer, saying, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." Isn't that great? We should always pray and not give up. Kate, we have somebody who texted in on this too.
Yeah, we had a couple of texts. Let's see. My grandmother, Jim from Oklawaha, my grandmother had a total of 23 grands and great-grandchildren before her death. She got her wish of getting to Jerusalem to walk with Jesus. Most of the prodigal have come to Jesus in their family, yet some of the others have seemingly turned their back on Jesus in self-righteousness. And so, you know, keep praying. Keep praying. Rick from Cape Coral, in the 80s and 90s, my father was praying for me. I was having nothing to do with him, and I was lost, but he prayed for me, and today I pray for my sons who are 22 and 30.
His name is Dave Harvey, and I love Dave's stuff. I love to read his writing, and he's written some really cool books. He's a ministry leader, and he's been a pastor, and Dave, this is really, really amazing stuff. As we're talking about our wayward children, as, you know, with a pastor's heart, What would you like to say to the moms and dads who are hurting, who are running tired? They've been praying for a long time, and they're a bit weary. I mean, the names, literally, Kate, I'm not over-exaggerating. It's in the hundreds now.
Yes, absolutely.
And counting. So, Dave, welcome. What do you have to say? What are you thinking?
First, thank you for taking the time to pray for these burdens. I don't know that there is anything that weighs heavier on the heart of a parent than a child that is not going in the direction that they hoped or feel as a prodigal. And so I'd begin by just saying, first, God understands waywardness. That is a great description of his people in the Old Testament. That's a great description of us as well.
Yes.
Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. So I think that it's really important that we work to protect the relationship that we have with our child that's coloring outside the lines, because so often the relationship is what is attacked, and the tension between what we expect them to be and what they're not can cause all kind of torment and turmoil within our soul that militates against and fights against the relationship. And so protect that relationship. I'd say pray earnestly. I'd suggest that you, if it's a married couple and this is their child, don't get occupied with allowing your conversations when you're together to always drift towards fretting about the kids, strategizing about the kids. Loving a wayward child is the long game, and waiting is an important part of that, and trusting God is an important part of that. And maybe the last thought would be, if they're in the home and that's incredibly disruptive, and, you know, sometimes we have to exercise the courage to disrupt the delusion that they're living in. You know, a wayward embraces this irrationality that there is such a thing as life without consequences, autonomy without accountability, and that can call for a rugged love from those that love them, where we're both strong enough to face the difficulty, face the evil, love them, but also tenacious enough to do good toward them.
The word yet has a lot of faith in it.
Amen. It does.
And we need to remind ourselves of that truth. And just think about it for a second. What is faith anyway? Well, if you want the best definition of faith, of course, you're going to go to the Word of God, right? In Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It is a mystery how our faith comes into play in regard to the answer to our prayers. We hold things loosely because God is sovereign, and yet he applauds boldness. Don't give up and don't give the enemy ground. It is spiritual warfare, but you're up for it. Put on the armor of God, Ephesians 6. Put it on every day. Go back to that passage. You know what? Before you pray for your wayward son or daughter, go through Ephesians 6 and pray through the armor of God to put it on for yourself so that you can be a prayer warrior for your kids. Because the longer and more intensely you pray for them, the more you're going to become a target for the enemy. In fact, the fact that we're having this conversation here this morning is making him mad. I mean, it's obvious he doesn't like this one little bit. But Kate, we need to put on the armor of God. Maybe we need to revisit this. You know, we're talking about putting on the armor of God every day. We need to, maybe every day when we hop out of bed. Have you ever done that? Have you ever prayed through Ephesians 6 where it talks about the armor of God as you begin your day?
Yes. Yeah. And I've needed it many times. I had a prodigal, but here's the good news. After years and really much damage being done, she is faithful now. She is always calling and holding fast with both hands. So so hold on.
Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Take up the full armor. Stand firm. Put on the belt of truth. Got to have truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness in Jesus. I'm righteous. On my feet, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus himself is my peace. In addition to all of this, grab the shield of faith. That way you'll be able to extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one.
And that's what it feels like.
You bet it does. The helmet of salvation, I know in my mind that I am in Jesus and I am forgiven of my sins and his righteousness is mine. Back to the breastplate of righteousness. Then take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Don't stop there. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit and be on the alert. That's what we need to do. That is the focus for us.
Thanks for listening to Curtain Cape Mornings Podcast. Please take a minute to follow, subscribe, and review us. And no matter where in the world you are, you can listen to us live from 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays on the Moody Radio app.